little water. I'm going to grab a water. Is that okay? Just to keep it handy. Amen. Amen. You know, I was driving here this morning. We're going to pray before we open service. But we're going to be the church. And we're going to pray, okay? We're going to pray in faith. Who here is the church of God? Who's been redeemed by the blood of Christ? And your confession of Christ is, "Thou art the Christ." Right? You know, the Bible says, "I may not know everything, but this I know. I know who he is." So in that vein, we have some needs. We're going to just come into agreement. And I do believe after the message, there may be some altar ministry. And then following that, if folks would like to stay or join us after the lunch or to just pray and intercede and stand in the gap. The Bible says to keep what? Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, right? God does things in an instant, and he moves through time, and he works through faith. So let's, in faith, we're going to stand in agreement right now. Can you raise your hands to the Lord? Thank him for who he is. Profess out of your mouth, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God, thou art Jesus, my Savior." Every word of yours is true and yea and amen. Surely you took upon yourself all of my sin, all of my iniquity, right? For all who call upon your name, they will be saved, healed, delivered, and set free. And by the stripes of Christ, by that broken body, it wasn't our word, it was God's word. He said, "You are healed, redeemed, set free." And Father, we just lift before you needs in this house, Father, and apart from this house. Father, we just stand in agreement. You need to speak over it. You're above. You're the head, not the tail. You are above this world. We don't look at the report. We look at who the report of Christ. Thou art the Christ. God, we thank you that your body was broken for us. We put needs before you. We will keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. And that doesn't mean that God hasn't heard, right? Do you know he hears you? When you pray to your Father in heaven, do you know he hears you? Awesome, because that's the word says, if you know he's heard you, what? That you know you have what you've asked for. So, Father, we in faith, we come to you, we thank you. We lift every need before you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But he's done everything. Amen. So in Jesus' name, we speak miracles. Who in this house has received a miracle before? Something that was impossible. Raise your hand. I'll put both mine up, but I'm holding a microphone. Amen. Jesus, thank you for healing. Thank you for healing in Jesus' name. Your body was broken for us. That is your word. We lay hands. You said to lay hands on the sick, and they will what? They will recover. They will recover in Jesus' name. He said, go in my name. The prayer of the righteous, what? We're righteous only in him. They availeth much. Lay hands on them right now. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. If you want to see miracles, you need to be able to look at your Christ and not the situation. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Every word of yours is true. It's yea, it's amen. We call forth, we command healing in Jesus' name. We rebuke. We thank you that you rebuke the adversary. You crush every report in Jesus' name. He destroyed the works of the enemy. He's the author, the finisher in Jesus' name. And we just stand in agreement, Father, for your word today in Jesus' name. Where's your faith right now? It should be on that cross, right? It's done. It was done a long time ago. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. Amen? Amen. And you're going to continue, not just from this morning, not just now when we're in the house of God, but you are the house of God. So you're going to continue all day long and profess and believe and proclaim. Right? We do that when God does something good for us. We're, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to thank Jesus. Right? We thank you now, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your healing virtue poured out. It's grace. It's grace, and we thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, we proclaim it now. We rejoice in it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm looking around the room, and I'm looking, including myself, some people who probably wouldn't even be on this earth right now if it wasn't for the intervention of the Lord. Amen. Amen? How many were sick and God healed you? Come on. Right? How many were bound and God healed you? How many had a report of death and God changed that? Amen. God can do whatever he wants to do this morning, as Pastor Mac, right, has laid that foundation in this house, and that's true, and yay and amen. And he can do whatever he wants all the time, can't he? I don't really need our permission for that, but amen. I'm going to take a sip. Let me tell you something. When you encourage yourself in the Lord, do you feel the Holy Spirit? We don't have to feel him. He's in you. But I'm just saying, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't remember. I think that was part of Rich's message last week. I think. Or soon, recently, right? It's a good word. Uh-oh, I might get a little tipsy. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I want to respect some people's privacy in my own personal life, but I can tell you, God's done miracles. A relative, I was told they'd never come back home. No, they're in the hospital, they're in the rehab for good, that's it, this is it. Well, guess what? They're home. We just had a birthday party last week with them. And that was about the fifth time we've heard that in the past 15 years, okay? Amen. You're citizens of where? Of heaven, okay? It's very important in this day that we learn to be steadfast, encouraging ourselves in the Lord and speak out of our mouth, right? This girl was downcast just the other day, okay? See what happens when we speak the word out of our mouth, the difference between the natural man and the spirit man and the power of God and the truth of his word. Okay, amen. I'm going to say it one more time before we, because it's important. Do you believe? Because what did Jesus say? He healed me physically a number of years ago, and the scripture he gave me to stand on, guess what? It was two big words. He said, only believe. Only believe. Do you believe? We're going to go out of here this morning, say, out of your mouth, I want to hear it. I believe you. I believe you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I'm so glad I have such a husband who loves the Lord. I'm going to boast on him a little bit. He wakes up, he walks directly to the table. I walk directly to the coffee pot. He walks directly to his table with his Bible already open. There is not a day that I've known him or been married to him that he doesn't do that. And he is in the Word, and he doesn't do or say anything until he's in the Word and praising Jesus. And I hear him over there speaking in tongues. But yesterday, last night, he felt inclined to put on the Passion of Christ. Amen. Who's seen that, right? We all know the story of the Passion of Christ, but it is good it's hard, difficult to watch, isn't it? But as my husband was praising in the worship team, that was so awesome this morning, that he's risen, that thou art the Christ, Messiah, right? He is who he says he is, and he's seated in heavenly places forever. He is the King of all glory, and he did all those things for us. It was his good pleasure, his joy, his passion. Amen. Well, I'm doing part two of the message I did last time. We'll see if we might have to be broken up again and be part three. We'll see. But I had, if you remember a few weeks back, had a message called The Oil and the Lamp, right? And it was based on the parable with the 10 virgins, right? Powerful. And I shared with you then that the reason I did that message was because of a very, very strong, clear vision that the Lord gave me. Very suddenly, unexpectedly, I wasn't in a prayer time, but it was very vivid. And so the reason I want to continue down that path is because I know that was from the Lord. Okay, so I'm basically, if my eyes will cooperate, when I worship and keep my eyes closed, my contacts get dry, so that's why I make googly faces up here. But anyway, so this morning's message is called The Oil and the Lamp, Part 2. And so I am, again, picking up from last time. When we did speak about the wise and the foolish virgins, right? Kind of remembering that. There were five who were wise, and there were five who were foolish. right? And the wise kept their oil lamps, not only their lamps full, but their vessels. They kept their wicks trimmed, and they were ready as they waited the bridegroom, who, if you recall, we talked about some of the Jewish tradition of betrothal and the ladies in waiting that was up to a year long, right? And the bridegroom could come at any time in that year. Can you imagine? So not only the bride, but all of those, the virgins with her who were her maids, basically, maids of honor, if you will, like we have, needed to be ready. And they needed their oil lamps full because it was tradition for the bridegroom to come at midnight-ish. And he would come unannounced, and then it would be announced as he started to process through the town, and there would be a cry and a trumpet blare that said, the bridegroom is coming, the bridegroom is coming. And they would need to get up, light their oil lamps because it was dark. It was necessary, right? The vision I had back then was, so it was like that, a young maid basically holding the lamp up very high, which I learned is what they did. And the light was shining on her, but God made it so vivid that that light was also going out. And that the oil, you know, we are the light of the world. He calls us to be salt and light, right? But the light must be illuminated by his spirit first in our own lives. We need that. And in order to bear fruit and to bear witness of him. That parable, of course, number one, is referring, bring a very sober wake-up call, warning, cautioning, right? Very vivid depiction of the difference between saved and unsaved. We talked about the wheat and the tares, that he will allow them to grow up side by side, all of that. So that's number one in that parable. But we also talked about, well, okay, so once, you know, that's something we need to make sure. The Bible says to examine yourself and see that you're in the faith, right? I shared a pretty vivid testimony that time about a woman, a female pastor, husband and wife, right? And I was at that in-between time in a conference. And she was witnessing people like we were doing this morning, you know, getting in the beauty of the holiness of the Lord, worshiping him, you know, having tears run down their face, because when you come into the beauty of his presence, that's not something you work up. That's something that you can't really stop. And you can see the intimacy, true intimacy with the Lord. And it broke her. It crushed her in a good way. But it was God's invitation. It was God's mirror saying, I know your heart is to serve me, but you don't know me. And that became so very vivid. That was an ordained time for her. And she stood in front of that whole meeting and said, you know, my husband and I pastor a church. Tears pouring down her face. We do all the right stuff. We're doing really good stuff. We care about people. But I don't know him. I don't know him. And I cannot go on another minute. I'll never forget it. And it was powerful. And she met him, she received him that day. But that's just a very vivid sort of depiction of, you know, those five virgins that were wise and five who may have been foolish, right? Looked the same, had all the same stuff, did the same things, but there was a difference, right? So again, I'm just going to kind of pick up from the notes that I didn't get to last time. I'm going to take a sip. Okay, so again, just a little recollection of that parable in Matthew 25. If you remember, verse 1 begins, this is the parable of the 10 virgins. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. That was Jesus. Who spoke the parables? Jesus did, right? This is Jesus talking, and he's sharing these parables as illustrations, even to those who were walking closest with him, but to those gathered around. I got to catch up with my notes here. He's vividly depicting and warning of the distinction between saved and unsaved, redeemed, atoned for by the precious blood of the Lamb, And that there's no gray area. That's sobering, right? There's no gray area, right? Because the Bible talks about what with salvation, that he's made the invitation open to all. Isn't that awesome? Right? It's open to all, right? But it's the blood atonement of Christ. And that when we say he sees us through the blood, right? That's what he sees us through. So that's either something that's happened in our life or it hasn't. We've either received that or we haven't, right? And that's where God sees us through. But it's also a warning and exhorting from Christ, if you will, of being watchful, being vigilant, of serving him, being faithful, and being expectant. That's an awesome word. If you reflect, anybody who's been married or if you're engaged or whatever, you know, there's an expectancy, right? There's a waiting, and it's beautiful, right? There's an intimacy. There's a longing that exists at all times, right? Song of Solomon talks about, says, who is this coming up over the mountains? My beloved, looking for him, right? And it's a beautiful longing. And he's cautioning, I believe, for those who are saved and walking with him, of not losing that expectancy. If you remember it with the parable of the 10 virgins, you know, the bridegroom was delayed, right? And that's a message that Jesus is saying, because we're all going to feel like that. You'll hear every generation says, oh, he's coming in our time, right? Not every generation had the prophecies fulfilled that we did. I think we're seeing some things that we can clearly say are leaning towards that direction. But be clear, no man knows the day nor the hour. No man. Zero. God the Father only. Right? So God isn't saying be fixated on you know, whether it's the tribulation or not, but he's saying be expectant of me. As a bride is longing, it should be mingled with that love and longing and the faith of knowing that he said, I am returning. I'm returning. But more so in the midst of that, I should say, is that again, being vigilant. Those unwise servants, they lost their vigilance because they thought, I don't know. I think we have some time. We're all right. We'll be okay. We'll get some oil when we need it. Right? But they found out what? That when he came and they had to run out and they went to they were on their way to the wedding, they were begging the other wise virgins saying, share with us some of your oil. And they said, we can't, because if we do, we will not have enough for ourselves, right? And that light lit the way. It lit the way for the procession to the wedding feast. And then that door is shut and they were shut out. Remember that? And they said, Lord, 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 my Lord, let me in. And he said, depart from me, I don't even know you. Right? So very, very sobering. But in the midst of it being sobering, you know, God is always speaking good things to us. Right? Even things that might be sobering. He's doing it for our good. Right? He's doing it for our good. Can you see that? So we don't have to feel like, oh, this is, like I said last time, you know, a heavy message. No, it's a good message. I'm really glad that God gave me wake-up calls. Anybody else? Or am I alone? I'm really glad. I'm very glad. And that he keeps us on track. So while it's sobering, it's God's goodness. And it's his speaking in a lot of ways to us as believers and where we need to be walking. Do you love your bridegroom, Jesus? I mean, we worshiped all morning. We could have just done that all day long. Do you love him? If you know him, you will love him. You can't help it. You can't help it. You know, and if you're listening here or online and you're like, you know what? Because I meet a lot of people. I was one of them. You know, I had faith. No one had to convince me to have faith in Jesus ever. I prayed when I was a little baby. I remember talking to God in the crib, honestly. So no one needed to convince me of that. But there came a time when God gripped my life and he introduced me to him in an intimate way. You know? But anyway, you know, that's for you to say. If, you know, like that woman, if you're like listening to these messages, or sometimes you're in worship and you're like, God, I don't know. Where am I at with you? You know, let him show you. And, you know, make sure that you're in the faith. Have I received you as Savior? Because that is my profession. And you can do that now, right? That invitation is always open. And that's the good news. That's the good news. Okay. The other thing that, you know, I also mentioned last time, you know, all of us will encounter Christ. You know, we can walk with him in intimacy here. As we said, you're citizens of heaven. You're joined with him eternally, right? We're with him all the time. He's with you all the time if you're saved. But one way or another, whether it be in his return, right, or whether it be when it's your appointed time to pass from life to life, we're going to stand before Jesus, right? There's not a soul nor life, whether they believe in the Lord or not, right, that's going to have that experience. Okay, I'm just going to move on. So, okay, I'm finally going to get to the message. Sorry, I'm trying to be a little silly. Okay, so we're going to go to near that parable, right before it. We're going to go to Matthew 24. And in verse 3, you'll see Jesus is responding to questions from his disciples. And they're asking him, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus goes on to tell them to watch for occurrences, for wars, pestilence. He says, which they are the beginning of sorrows, of the sorrows. And he warns them to be careful and not to be deceived. And he says in verse 5, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And it says, it goes on, it says, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Whew. Remember that? Remember that? He said, and then many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Ooh, again, we don't know the time nor the hour. I'm not saying, you know, but we're experiencing lawlessness, correct? There you go. Thank you, Stacy. Yes. You know, we can discern. Jesus said to discern the signs of the times. But anyway, I think the point, the reason I wanted to put that in this morning is because it says that because of lawlessness, right, that the hearts of many will grow cold, right? Because we are experiencing that. Or we could have, you know, some challenges maybe in keeping the faith, like we were just making those proclamations this morning and staying in that place and realizing I'm in the world but not of it. Right? So I think God wants to encourage us in this time to be strong, to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be expectant, to be longing, but in the beauty of that love relationship that you have as a bride would have. God knows the end. He's told us the end, and like I think we say all the time, you know, we win, right? But he said, in this world, you'll have some tribulation, you'll have some difficulty, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Then I'm just going to, you know, go on. It says in verse 13, it says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved, and the gospel of this kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So there's going to be a witness, right, to all the nations through the gospel and through the church and through your lives. Amen? Amen. Is it becoming a little more vivid why God is saying, I want you to keep your oil lamps full, and I want you to know how to keep seeking me in the midst of all things. First, ensure you're in the faith. Secondly, keep your lamps full. Be watchful. Be longing. Be expecting me, not just in his return in the second coming when he comes, but in every area of your life. like the scripture I said in Song of Solomon, who is this coming up over the mountains? I know that's a point that God wants to tell us, that expectancy in all of our lives is that first in our heart, right? When we're having, are we expecting him to come? Are we looking up to the mountain and saying, here he comes, my beloved, or know that he will? Amen? Okay, so verse 13. It says, so he goes on to say that if possible, even the elect will be deceived. Who's the elect? The church. Ouch. How can we be deceived? That's why it's so important to be steadfast and to be skilled. You know, when you go to a gym and you exercise and you get stronger, right? We can exercise our faith. So you have an opportunity today to exercise your faith and get stronger in it, right? Watch TV, you can see all the stuff. You can allow yourself to get discouraged, or you can start proclaiming who Christ is. You can start proclaiming like we did this morning. You can even start proclaiming, in this world we'll have tribulation, but I'm of good cheer because he's overcome the world. Do you see the difference? Amen. So we want to be skilled. God's quickening the church. Not just our church, his church. He said we will have, we haven't in this country, we haven't had a lot of, I mean, we have now, but we've had it pretty good, And so we're starting to see, but this is the time when the light will shine. This is the time when your light will shine. But it will require, when you pray for people who are ill and sick and in very serious situations, you have to become very accustomed to not looking at that situation, but looking at Christ. So it's no different in all aspects of our life because he's overcome. Amen. Okay. I'm going to kind of skim over this. So again, it says, see, what's going to happen is people are going to be so worn out and tired, and so all this pestilence and earthquakes and this and that and wars and rumors of war and lack of peace, and the people's hearts have waxed cold and all of those things. Why would they be enticed? How can they be deceived when someone promises peace that's not of the Lord? Right? Makes sense, right? But we can't be that way. That's why God wants you to be strong, your oil lamp full of him and his promises and his truth, regardless. He says, therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. He's coming in no other way. Years ago, I used to read that and go, how could the church be deceived? He's made it very clear. That's how he's coming. That's it. That's it. That didn't happen. And when that happens, every knee's going to hit the deck. So you won't have to worry. Oh, should I do this? Should I do that? You're going to be face down with the rest of the earth. Okay, so he's coming one way. So until that, we need to be faithful, vigilant, diligent, full of faith, right? Trusting his word. And by the way, when we struggle with that, it's okay to ask. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, for God to help you, because he knows our frame. We don't have to pretend that we don't ever struggle. Okay. Anyway, all right, so I'm going to read on now. We're going to skip a little bit over to, I think we're still in the same chapter, but verses 36 through 44. It says, But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And it says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man be. Now Jesus again is speaking, this is him. He's saying it will be like this. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. Jesus said, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now I have some notes here that I know God was highlighting. Keep in mind that Noah was laughed at. He was ridiculed. He was shunned when he warned the people and was faithful in building the ark. They weren't like, oh yeah, that sounds great. That makes a lot of sense. Cool. No. It didn't go that way. And anyway, that ark, as you know, was no small vessel. It was no small task, and it took a long period of time to complete. And he endured because he heard from God, and he did it regardless of all kinds of opposition. Pretty much everybody, right? Pretty much everybody except his family. But the ark is a message in itself. As you know, it's, or hopefully you can see, it's a representation of salvation of Christ, right? We must be in Christ as we are in Christ, being saved and rescued. So that's another important point just to take note of. But I'm going to go on. Verse 40 says, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We heard that in the parable of the 10 virgins about being ready, right? That's what we've been talking about. And as you recall, just we don't have to really go there, but in the parable, the 10 virgins says again, the kingdom of heaven will be likened to them who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. I already covered that stuff, so I'm going to skip over that. So again, we hear the Lord saying to be watchful, to be ready, to be vigilant, to encourage yourself in the faith, to be full of his word, to be have the ability to keep your eyes fixated on him and the profession of your mouth, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. And every word of yours is yea and true and amen. And you've called me for such a time as this. Amen. You've called me to be here for such a time as this. Right? And my life, in your life, the life of the church, is to be a witness, to be the light, to be the testimony of and the glorification. Through Jesus will be glorified and proclaimed, right? That strengthens you, doesn't it? Doesn't that strengthen you? That's pretty awesome, actually. That's pretty amazing. Okay. All right. I've just gone all over the place here. And again, I'm just going to skip a little bit through my notes here, but as you know, Jesus, he said, you know, not everyone who, in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, just like we saw it with the virgins, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many, he said, will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Yikes. Again, when we're saved, right, we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, right? So that's a very sobering reiteration of what God is saying. Okay, so anyway, what I didn't get to last time, I think we've covered a lot of the ground here, but I do want to talk about, let me skip over here, sorry. You know, so what do we do as we're awaiting the bridegroom and being filled, ready and fruitful, to be lights of the world? You know, some might be saying, well, what do I do? How do I do this thing? How do I do it right? What does that mean? You know, when he talked about that you buy from him without money, right? Come and buy from me without money, without wage. So I have some notes here about what we can be doing while we're waiting and how we do that. One of them is that, how do we buy oil from him? In Revelation 21:6, it says, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Right? Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come, who desires to take the water of life without price. Ooh. Who desires, let him come. Let him come. There's no restriction. He said, let him come. But we buy without payment. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. But we pursue him. We love him. We are willing to yield to him and allow him to be Lord, right? To be Lord, to submit to him, to let him transform us. This is one way we buy oil. When we do, I love the scripture that says, you know, where I am, Jesus speaking, there my servant will be also. You know, Jesus was found in a lot of places. They weren't always doing glorious things that everybody was clapping and happy to have, right? He was bruised, he was spit upon, he was crucified, but he was blasphemed, all of those things. He was falsely accused, all those things, right? So whenever we're willing to do those things, when he says, forgive, take up my cross, you know, consider others of more value than yourself, et cetera, et cetera. Whenever we do those, we're buying oil. Buying oil every single time, every single time. And you're also coming closer to him because in that, his presence, his anointing, his power, as we yield to him, he transforms us and he fills us. Woo! Wow, yeah. So, right? We want to be like him and with him, be with him and be filled with him. Well, he said, this is the way, walk ye in it. I go before you, and I'm your rear guard. Follow me, right? Jesus said, follow me. Don't worry about them. You follow me, right? This is how we're filled with his presence. This is how we're transformed by his power, and his anointing comes and rests on our life. This is how we're also ready in season and out of season. Because it's not about whooping it up when there's an issue. You're walking with him, right? You're walking with him in intimacy and closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have in my notes here somewhere, if I can see any of my notes, that he fills all in all, right? He fills all in all. But this is really how we buy oil, without price. The only price you could say is laying down yourself. Giving him your heart, right? That's why just likening back to, you know, watching The Passion or part of it last night, it's good to revisit salvation. It's good to, we know Jesus is alive and well, right? He's risen, we know all that. He doesn't want you to, but we should understand and remember and reflect on what Christ actually did and how much we didn't deserve that. We can look at the Pharisees, we can look at those who were, you know, piercing him and putting nails through him, and we can say, oh, they're so awful, how could they do that? And it was, right? But he said, before you were in Christ, you were at enmity with him, right? That we've all fallen short, right? And none of us deserved, I know I didn't deserve, I know, we'll never deserve the grace of Christ, never, but certainly in our salvation. So it's good to reflect on that. And that draws us closer into that love relationship with him. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. He will reveal himself and fan the flames of your heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek for me with what? All of your heart. You will find him. You will find him. And you can have confidence when you tell others. When you seek for him, when you seek for him with all your heart, I promise you, you will find him. You will. There's, again, as I said, part of buying oil is that personal longing and desire. He's the bride. There's an awaiting for him. Whether awake or asleep, the longing is there always, right? I know when you know, when you're in love and you're waiting, you know, it doesn't matter if you're awake or asleep. There's a spiritual connection, right? There's a heart desire and appreciation for your bridegroom. Pursuing in hunger, the oil again was for the virgins was stored in a vessel. It had to be purchased. There was an intentional pursuit, a diligence. Keeping the vessel full was important. It was valued, saved, treasured, needed. And the wise had that active pursuit, and therefore the supply, and the foolish did not. Another way that we purchase or buy that, what we can't purchase with money, is through trust and obedience. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you." Says, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Trust in God. Can you hear those words? That we hear those words. That's awesome. That's an awesome promise. And then we have some issues, and we all do it. But in causing yourself to trust God again, like we were doing this morning, and saying, "No, he will never leave me nor forsake me." No, my God is true. Every word is true, and yea, and amen. Luke 14:17-30 says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This has begun to be built and was not able to finish.'" If you think back to the betrothal, as we talked about in earlier, you know, it takes quite a lot of trust to enter into a betrothal. Well, the daughter didn't really, I don't think, have a lot to say, but trusting and knowing that that was a contract that would be fulfilled, it was not going to be broken, it was a covenant, and the bridegroom was coming. Trusting of the Father, trusting of the Son, who goes to prepare a place with a covenant, again, of his return. An unbreakable promise that will be completed. Again, being watchful is another way that we do that, of purchasing that oil and being filled, having your lamp filled. Being watchful, again, as we said, not just for his return, but in every area of our lives. You know, I have some friends that they're very transparent, and I love it. You know, we're all transparent here, but you know, we get together to pray, and the first thing they do is start saying, "You know what? I notice that I'm not thinking of the Lord first in all things." And these are like longtime believers, strong Christians. But see, they keep it fresh, and I'd like to just repent, and we would repent together, saying, "Is he really first in my heart? Is he first on my thoughts?" And we spend time doing that before we do anything else. These people have been walking with the Lord for decades. Isn't that awesome? And they're powerful, and they have anointed lives and anointed ministries. So that is actually a very good gauge and guidepost to allow the light of the Lord, the mirror of his word, to illuminate. Are our thoughts first on him? Are we watchful? Are we awaiting his coming in all areas of our life? Is this where we live? Is that where we live as a believer? Have things strayed from that? There's always a way back. He's given us he grants us repentance. It's a gift. It's an awesome gift. But keeping that fresh, I learned that from my friend. Like, wow, let's keep it fresh. Let's not just go into this thing like, "Is he really first in my life? I don't know. I mean, I know he's first in my life, but is he first? Is he top of my thoughts in every single aspect of my life? Is he? Because that's where I want to live. That's where we want to live. That's where the oil is flowing." I'm going to come to a close. Revelation 3 warns of being watchful. To him, the bridegroom, but also over our hearts. I'm gonna hold some of this stuff. It's good. I have stuff ready for next time. I'm gonna hold some of what I had. And just as we're coming to a close, so, you know, like I said, this is a good thing to do. This is an opportunity, and you can do this anytime. You know, are you ready? Are you ready? First in salvation, you know? That woman that I observed, that pastor, that was like 17 years ago, and I remember it like yesterday. It was a glorious, awesome, wonderful thing. It was wonderful. And to see someone say, you know what? I need to be in the faith. I need to be intimate with the Lord, and I'm not. I'm just not. And God met her, and everything changed from there. You know, what is the condition of my heart, of your heart? Am I expectant? Am I longing? Again, this isn't chastisement. This is self-reflection. You know, am I longing? Am I like that bride waiting? Am I looking for him, expecting him to come up over the hills? Is he my beloved? You know, that we can think about that and allow the Lord to work in that area of our life. Is he? I think, you know, Rich in his message last week was talking about joy. You know, the joy of the Lord is not of this world. The joy of salvation is not of this world. And that's why it's not something anybody can take from you. Right? That's why people who are persecuted can be in the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of salvation is what we're talking about, is being in his presence. Just like you can't help but weep at the beauty of his holiness. Right? The joy of the Lord. We're filled with his joy. The joy of our redemption, the joy of all that he is, and the power of his spirit. So I think, you know, as we close, I'm going to turn it back to Pastor Mac, but I think, you know, it's an opportunity. Who wants to be strong in his power and might in this day? Right? How many know we need to be vigilant? I do, too. I'm very careful how much stuff I let come in. I stopped having TV in my house like 25 years ago. I keep up with the news, but I don't allow myself to be entrenched. God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for all of our lives. He has a purpose for this church and the Church of Christ worldwide, and it's very important. And he said, let your light so shine, right? Let your light so shine. And that light is fueled by his spirit. Right? That's what causes that lamp to burn, is the oil of the Lord, brightly in your life and brightly as a testimony of Christ. Everywhere you go, God wants to use you. Everywhere you are a light. Everywhere, not just in the church building. Everywhere you are, everywhere you are a light. If there's one person next to you, if there's 10, 20, 100, if you're at the gas station, God has the church, right? The church is here to illuminate the darkness and reflect and glorify Christ. So take that to heart. He wants to use you, anoint you. You are anointed. Amen. So I don't keep rambling. I'm going to give it to Pastor Mac and do all things well.
I would like to say that the word was active this morning. You know, it says in Hebrews, the word is active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so I was getting a vision, an eyes-open vision, of seeds of faith being, it was almost like You know how when there's a big raindrop and it almost like splashes up? But I was seeing that as the seeds of faith were being sown, new life was popping up immediately. There was no gestation period. There was no waiting period. But faith is now. You know, when the word of faith goes forth. And very early on, when you were sharing, Kim, Holy Spirit brought me to Matthew chapter 9, where it talks about the woman with the hemorrhage. And it says, she said to herself, if I can only touch the hem or the fringe of his garment, I'll be healed. But God was highlighting something when he showed me that. That was the outermost part of Jesus, was the hem. We have full and free access. The Bible says the veil was torn from the top to the bottom in the temple. And full and free access was opened up forever because of Jesus. And so what I noticed in that passage as I went to it, right before that, before that occurred, and Jesus was on the way to the synagogue official's house when this happened to the woman with the hemorrhage. And he had come to Jesus, and he said, "My daughter is dead. My daughter has died, but if you come, you feel the faith rising up? If you come, she will live." If you read the rest of the passage, blind men were healed. They cried out to Jesus in faith, and he said what? "Be it done to you according to your faith." He didn't say, "Oh, if you pray this prayer, or if you do this penance." He said, "Faith has opened the way to heaven, coming to earth." And then the demons. He healed the demonic man as well, right? So I would say to you this morning, this: he is the God of miracles. That's in the present. That's not, "Oh, Jesus did this then," or he did it at this time, or... No, no, no. He is. There's the emphasis. He is the God of miracles. Therefore, Hebrews says, Hebrews 4:16, Come boldly before the throne of grace, that you might, what? Receive mercy and help in your time of need. Today is your day for many of you. You didn't come here thinking today was your day. But faith has paved the way this morning for God to touch you and raise your expectations of faith and who he is first, not in what he does. That follows your understanding of proclaiming who he is. He is the God of miracles. So there are places right here for you to come this morning. They have your name. Literally, they have your name on them, because those seeds of faith have been sown. Can we shut that? Is it still recording? If you can shut that off, if it is. It says in the scriptures something like, whose report will you believe? Whose? Whose report? Are you going to believe by faith? God's word says, all things are possible to who? To who? To those who believe. He's the God of miracles. When you come forward this morning, that's what you're proclaiming by your stepping out into this realm of faith here. And the reason I asked that the recording stop was Kathy has, I want to end any speculation why Kathy hasn't been here. She has received a diagnosis of cancer. What is it? What is the treatment plan going to be? I don't know. We don't know. There needs to be further testing. But I say that to say my faith is not shattered. I'm standing in that same sacred place that we sang about this morning. I'm going to stay in that place no matter what. The doctor can say whatever he says, but my Jesus heals. Your Jesus heals. And all he requires of us is to seek him with all our heart, to believe that he's the God of miracles. So we're going to stand with you this morning, but more importantly than that, he's going to stand with you as you bring your need to him. Come on. Come boldly to the throne of grace, the Bible says. We're going to stand with you, but most importantly, he's going to stand with you. We'll pray with you. We'll anoint you. I don't know what your need is, but most certainly he does. And so we're going to just stand in where all these seeds of faith were scattered this morning and new life. And I'm going to pray specifically for two ladies, as the Lord showed me. But we'll see what else God does as well. So, Kim, Joe, would you come? Roger, will you come and minister with Kim as well? You know, sometimes, do you seem foolish? Does it seem foolish to you sometimes when you say something like, he's the God of miracles? He is the God of miracles. When everything in your fiber says, I'm not being healed. How many times have I prayed? The devil keeps whispering in your ear, oh yeah, how's that working out for you? He's a filthy liar. He's a dog without teeth. He's a defeated foe. The Bible says he put Satan under your feet. Under your feet. You have that power. Christ, the wisdom of God, and what? The power. The power of God. And I'm getting ready to preach a message from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 on that very thing. It's in its infancy, but it's going to be powerful when he releases me to preach it. So we are going to pray for you, and we are going to believe for you this morning, because our declaration is and will always be, he is the God of miracles. He is the God of the present. He's not the God of the past. In that sense, he's always working. He never stops working. We sing it, but do we believe it? Even if I don't see it, he's working. Even if I don't feel it, We sing those words, but do we believe it? Do we allow those seeds of faith to grab down and establish themselves and bear fruit for His glory? So let's pray together.